to thank for everyone for coming out this morning. I want to thank all of the fathers here. A happy Father's Day. As I was thinking about the lesson this morning, I was thinking about how God accepts us as our father. And I think of also being a father, and I think about my kids and things the things that I have to accept as my kids. I just think of what's God's reflection of us. You know, is there things that he has to accept that we do? We know that we all fallen short the grace of the glory of the Lord and fallen short and sinned. We think about that's how we are to treat our kids too, with love and respect, but also have that fear of the Lord. So we are going to get into that this morning as we talk about the heart of acceptance and following God. We're going to be looking at several stories this morning as we go throughout the Old and New Testament of people that had to accept what God asked them to do. Most of these stories revolve around people not wanting to accept what God asked them to do, but them realizing what they needed to do, coming to a better understanding, and following God. So this morning, as we kind of look at the heart of acceptance, I was thinking, what are some of the things that we accept? Now, I will mention that I did use AI to make a lot of the images today, and as I was getting ready, I do see a couple misspellings, which kind of makes it really funny, especially the context that we're getting ready to use. But when I was thinking about accepting, think about the things that we would accept today. I recently got a new position the other day at Sinclair. So I had thought about a job position. What's really funny about the job that I just accepted, I accepted it Friday, and they're like, well, we're just going to add this on to your job, so you're actually not going to quit doing your other jobs. And I was like, oh, that didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Maybe we're accepted to college. Maybe the college doesn't know how to spell. Or we might accept an award, right? We are accepting a task. We are accepting a reward for doing something. However, a lot of these acceptance require work, right? We are either going to work, or we've worked really hard and accepted a new position. We've worked really hard and have got accepted into a college. Or we might have done a lot of work and accepted an award. So what is acceptance? So acceptance, if we were to use a couple of phrases, I'm not actually going to give the definition for acceptance because I kind of want to put this in context of how we're studying it this morning. Acceptance is the true posture of faith, not the mere resignation to God's will, but the joyful yielding of self to the divine purpose. I really like that quote because it kind of helps us frame our mind around what we're accepting. Also, acceptance, we have kind of the Greek word here, refers to a favor, goodwill, or delight, especially the pleasure God takes in the obedience offering of his people. Acceptance is not merely tolerance, but God's genuine pleasure and approval based on his covenant relationship. Now, we've done a lot of study about what covenant, the word covenant means, about the word salt, and about how the word salt means covenant. We've done extensive studies on that, especially on Wednesdays. And we think about how important the covenant is and how many times that it's mentioned. So there are many verses in the Bible that when we think about acceptance, that it fits together with what we want to do, especially as Christians and as other people were given instruction. So some of the things that I'd like to think about to kind of frame our mind around things this morning. As we do our study, let's look in Romans 12, 1 through 2, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Remember how we had just kind of defined what acceptable means in the context of the Bible, that we're not just doing it, but we're enjoying doing it and we're loving doing it for God, which is reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but by transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because if we do so, it says that God will accept us. That if we do his will, he'll accept us. And again, that acceptance is out of love, but of what he wants us to do. Now, in the Old Testament, we are given a few individuals that God asked them to do things. However, they didn't do it, but came to a better understanding during that time frame. So let's look at Jonah first. I'd like to look at Jonah. Let's think about it. We're going to look at some of the maps, some of the ideas with Jonah. I am going to fairly go through things quickly this morning. I always get really excited about putting these lessons together, then realize that I have like a year's worth of study by the time I'm done. So I try to slim them down. But with this morning, we are going to be looking at some people fairly quickly. I also really enjoyed this rendering of this picture. I thought that was kind of a cool kind of picture that ChatGPT made for me this morning, kind of about this. So here in Jonah 1, 1 through 3, we have, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Rise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare and went down to it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord." So Jonah was asked to do things. He was asked to accept a mission. But instead of accepting it, he flees. Now, we are studying fear on Sunday mornings, and we are also studying the anger of Jesus about Jesus the man that we're studying on Wednesday nights, just about those feelings that we have. And we studied fear this morning, and I really think that Jonah was really afraid. He fled. Now, we don't know where Tarsus is. However, he was told to go from where he was around the Gathith Helper area, and he went down to Joppa to leave here. We don't know where he was taken by the fish. We're not exactly sure. However, he should have been making his way over to Nineveh. Now, if he was really trying to flee to Tarsus, or where they believe that that is today, maybe it's in modern-day Spain, that is very far away. So, as you can see with the circles right here, I have Israel here in this lower corner. All the way over here, we see that area of Spain that he may have been fleeing to. Now, that is a very far away. That's very far away. Just to kind of give you guys an idea, I just spoke in Portugal, which is right here, and I spoke in the city of Porto. It would have been an additional 10 hours for me to fly over to Israel from there. I think I remember it was a 16-hour plane flight from JFK to Israel last time. That's how far away these distances would have been. He was really trying to flee the presence of God. However, we know that that did not go well, because while he's in the boat, a horrible storm arose, and the waters didn't recede until he was thrown out of the boat. Now, I think I'd mentioned before, never really showed these pictures before. Never really showed, as I mentioned before, the worst storm that I was ever in was standing in Joppa. I was standing in Tel Aviv, and the storm was actually so bad that when I was standing on the beach, the waters completely receded back. I don't know if you guys have said anything about tsunamis, but that's normally the first sign, is when the beach, the water recedes because it's getting ready to make waves. When I woke up in the morning, all of these boats were turned over, and all of the glass was broken out of all of the buildings next to where I was standing. That was a pretty bad storm. Now, the Bible mentions multiple times about bad storms hitting that area, about storms coming from a certain direction. That was pretty bad. I considered it really bad. The people I was with was bad. The people from Israel were like, yeah, that's what happens. However, that was a very strong storm, and I think I'd made the joke before that somebody needed to throw Jonah out of the boat in order to calm the storm. It was so bad. But that was a huge storm that arose. They threw Jonah out, and then finally he followed God's command. Because after the fish had let him out of the mouth here in Jonah 3, 1 through 4, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it to all the message, and I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent." That's from one side to the other. "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, we know as the story continues what happened. They did turn. The city turned. And Jonah wasn't very happy about that. He did what God said, but he was not happy. And I really enjoy this picture that AI made because Jonah is like, ah. You know, he did not want that to happen. So in Jonah 4, 9 through 11, it says, "Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Because this is when the plant had withered away from behind him. And he said, "Is it right for me to be angry even to death?" But the Lord said, "You have had pity on that plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And you should not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock." So to think that God came in and shown Jonah how to accept. Jonah didn't even accept that the plant had died and he is angry. He did not accept that Nineveh, which was a pretty bad city before Jonah, and then 100 years after Jonah, you have the rise of the Assyrians coming to imprison everybody from Israel too. So if Nineveh would have stayed and followed God, we would have never had that uprising. However, all of that was a part of God's plan. But we have multiple things here happening. Jonah is mad, and he is not accepting those things that God had in place. But God even just shows this one simple thing of this plant coming up and giving him shade and taking away to understand how he needs to accept God's will. Now, another person, real quick, also had an issue accepting what God had him do was Gideon. Now, we were going to study Gideon this morning, but we ended up having a long conversation about Solomon and Saul and David and timelines and about exactly what happened during that study. So with Gideon, he did this fleece test. Not only did he do it once, but he did it twice because he just didn't accept that this is what God wanted him to do. So he had this hesitation. So in Judges 6, 36 through 38, it says, "So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor." We did a whole study of threshing floors before. Hope everybody remembers that's a flat surface that they would use to gather the wheat as they would do chafing. "If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so that when he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of water." At that point, he probably should have accepted it, but he didn't. He asked again. And he was like, okay, all right, so this happened. "However, then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but all of the ground let dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground." So not only did Gideon question it from the beginning, he did not accept it, but he also had God show him again just to make sure. And as we were going to study in the adult study, which we didn't get to today, that this continuation of acceptance, especially in Gideon's story, it never played out well quite for Gideon because he wanted a massive amount of people to help him fight. And God kept having more people leave and his army kept reciting and reciting, kind of showing the faith that they needed in God. However, I think Gideon really wanted a big group to go with him. However, as we'll study with fear, it's not good to have other people surrounded by fear with them because they were that first group that left. So Gideon needed to accept that that was God's will and that's how God wanted to have him defend Israel. Now, I've been doing a lot of study in the book of James, and in the book of James, we have several people listed about their faith. And in that, we talk about how Moses also here in Exodus 3, 11 through 12. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you." This is God talking to Moses here. "And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on his mountain." And we know that he got to look into the promised land from that mountain, but he did not get to enter. But he had to accept that this is what God wanted him to do. And he is mentioned with the people of faith there in James. Also, Abraham also obeys. So with this, Abraham is doing a lot here. He is just picking up and moving. In Genesis 12, 1 through 4, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of the country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram and was 75 years old when he departed Haran." Sometimes I forget how old some of these characters were when this happened. We know that Sarai went with him as well. There's a lot happening in this story just to be uprooted and to move. He accepted that that's what he needed to do. Also, Isaiah also accepts, and I really like this story because he pretty much boldly stands up. In Isaiah 6 and 8, it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And it seems like without hesitation, Isaiah said, 'Then I said, Here am I, send me.'" Those are some Old Testament stories building on this idea that we should accept those things. Now in the New Testament, as we talk about some of the major characters in the New Testament about things they needed to accept, some of these things were done pretty abruptly. So we see these in Paul's conversion in Acts 9, 1 through 7. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way," I think it's very interesting, the way there, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." He's basically asking for a license to just go and arrest Christians. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he trembled and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" We see that, and he accepts it. He accepted these things that he needed to do. "And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one." I think about this story, and even later, Paul mentions certain things about himself. He mentions here in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, "This is faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I think I'd mentioned this multiple times about over in Israel, when I talk to individuals over there, a lot of people that are even of different faiths, they believe that Jesus came, but they don't believe that he is the Son of God. There is that acceptance there that we have to consider. We can believe that he came and may have done things, but we have to accept that he is who he said he was and that he is the Son of God. Because accepting it and understanding what he did is what we saw happen at the day of Pentecost. We see that same thing happen to the individuals there. Again, I like this image because I don't have the verse going all the way out, but it says that they're pierced to the heart. And it's kind of like they're grabbing their hearts and thinking about what happened. And here in Acts 2, 36 through 38, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's a lot of things that these people needed to consider and accept. They needed to accept that Christ was Lord. They needed to accept that it was their cries that caused Jesus to be crucified. And they also needed to accept the word of God and to be repent and to be baptized. They needed to accept all of these things to happen. However, we also see that other individuals throughout the New Testament may have heard things but had a hard time accepting. And without getting too much into the story, we see that Agrippa, he pretty much says that. And I think of the song, "Almost Persuaded," that we sing. Here in Acts 26 and 28, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me to become a Christian.'" We see that "almost persuaded." He truly did. We don't know if he later did. I've read other studies where other individuals, maybe he did. We see Festus kind of in the same light here. We see these other things that happen. I mean, Festus even went to them by the cover of night to talk to them because he was afraid. That goes along with our fear study. But we know that we have to accept these things, whether we're afraid or not. These are the things that we have to accept. Because as Christians, there are some things that we also need to accept today, especially when it comes to God's will and acceptance. So in Romans, I've accidentally put two verses in here. "As you therefore have received Christ, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Because we are to understand and to accept those things. And if we do accept those things, we know from Galatians 3, 26 through 27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ." He is our Father, and it is Father's Day. I was trying to make some connections here. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." There's a lot of things that we need to accept when we think about those words, putting on Christ. We have to think about the work and the things that we do for the Lord. We often talk about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindliness, goodness, faithfulness, about building those fruits of the Spirit, those things we have to accept and build upon. We talked about even the talents this morning, about not being afraid to build onto our talents. So as we kind of close out this morning, I really thank everybody. I read through those verses fairly quickly. As we think about those things and our acceptance this morning, we think about the times in the Old Testament where things were mentioned to Jonah, things were mentioned to Gideon, to Abraham, to Moses, to Isaac, and later Paul, and the apostles preaching and doing conversions about things they needed to accept. And I also think about the joy that it brings to accept. We talked about accepting this, about it's not to just say, "Oh, okay, all right, I accept it." But it's that understanding, that joy that it brings, the happiness that it brings to accept that he's our Father and that we are the children of God. So what kind of acceptance do we need? Do we need obedience, salvation, daily submission? And understanding that idea. Multiple times and multiple verses throughout the day, we had talked about water. We had talked about baptism and understanding that obedience. We understand what we need to do as Christians. We understand what we need to do to be saved. As mentioned, we talked about it in multiple verses this morning. If this morning, if you're willing to accept that that's what you need to do to become a child of His, to accept what He has told to us, to accept Him, to understand, to repent, believe, and to be baptized for remission of sins. If you would like or need any help of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.